afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone. This is the right time, apparently, to get planting all your spring flowering bulbs.
Autumn. The next 1 to 2 months, yeah, get bulbing.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And if you've been anywhere near a garden centre, you will see all the racks of bulbs for sale. So if you're wondering, what are all these oniony type things? Well, we have got the whole catalogue here.
Starting at A.
Oh, well. So, Karen, what are your favourite bulbs, just to start with?
I really like tulips.
Yeah.
Big fan of the begonia. That's a nice one.
Begonia?
Is that? I've been told that's a...
more of a tuber.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I wanted to talk about how bulbs are loosely...
Okay.
But anyway, what are your favourites?
Mine would be the iris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of my favourites.
And, of course, you can't go past the daffodil bulb.
Of course.
Yeah.
The lovely smelling daffodils and the cherry yellow flowers.
Yeah, I reckon. But, yeah... the term bulb loosely covers all bulbs and includes tubers, corms and rhizomes. That's according to the Palmer's website.
Oh, I see.
So a lot of people go, oh, it's bulb. But there's actually, from my research, you've got onions and daffodils, which are examples of true bulbs. They're made up of fleshy scales.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that as a true
bulb? Yeah, you can peel them away and they'll be like an onion.
And then you get your freesia, I'm doing quotation marks with my hands, everyone, bulb. That's actually a corm.
Yes.
And that's corm, m for mother, okay, not corn, corm. Mm-hmm. And that's like a solid flesh bulb.
Yeah.
And then you get rhizomes that are also... I think that's where my rhizomous begonias come in.
Okay.
Because some of the recommendations for, I'm going to come on to that, for planting your bulbs in bowls or pots or containers, that was one of the recommendations for a summer flower.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes. And rhizomes are simply stems that grow from buds in a horizontal fashion.
Okay. Yeah. So when I think of bulbs, I think of something fleshy that you put on the ground. It's not a seed,
no. And
it will have a flower in spring usually.
Mm.
So that's maybe a catch-all for all those types of...
Does the onion have a nice flower?
Yes, it does.
Does it?
I was going to mention onions as one of my first, because starting with A, the Latin term is allium.
Yeah.
Have wonderful... Yeah. Oniony type flowers, but
yeah,
it does smell of onions. But
yeah, but
you can
get pretty
like pom pom shaped balls of flowers, and they come in purple colours and
nice.
White colours. I would mention
the chive flower. That's like a pom pom age type, but chives are not.
Chives are littler. They are little bulbs.
They
are
bulbs. So bulbs you can get in varying sizes from.
From tiny,
I've always just plonked chives in the ground I've never looked that closely because they're usually so squashed together, and by the time I have to deal with that, they're just a big clump. I've never really dissected them closely. I'm going to have to close look.
No.
So they're tiny. They're like thumbnail size. Yeah. And then you've got your big, the biggest bulbs I've seen are probably daffodil size
bulbs. That's your usual regular kind.
Would you say the onion?
Yep, that
is a bulb.
Yes,
so
it
when
is
we're
a bulb.
Eating onion, that is a bulb.
You are eating a bulb,
and that's a true bulb because it's got the layers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's you can get big onions.
Yeah, you can.
Interesting.
So if you want edible bulbs, onions, chives.
Yeah, but we're going to be focusing more on
the flowering type.
But I guess you could apply that to all types.
Onions have pretty flowers.
Our information. Yeah. And how to plant, because I'm going to be talking about how to plant them. And
okay. Like I just want to mention onions because in Auckland, I don't know if you come across this, Karen, but everywhere you might come across the onion weed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that from a bulb as well? It would have to be.
Well, of course. Yeah.
So all onions, all in the, what was the A word?
Allium.
Allium family.
Yeah.
Are bulbous.
So you might see them just naturalised everywhere.
Yeah.
Just like in, say, England, they have bluebells.
Oh, yeah.
In the woods. Yeah. We have onion weed. And it's actually quite a pretty plant.
It is.
It has white
flowers. Actually eat it too.
Yes, you can eat the leaves. So when people say, oh, I got this onion weed, I don't know what to do with it, well, you can harvest it and it just you can chop it up, put it in your scrambled eggs and you have...
And you're only going to see it like during spring for a bit and then
exactly.
It'll be gone.
So don't get out your hoe like I was told to do when I gardened for Waitakere Gardens.
Because that would make it worse. It'd be like, oh, whoa!
We'll just spread it everywhere. Yeah. So they had an onion weed, what they called an infestation, in their rose garden beds.
Oh.
And I was the one picked to hoe it all
and
get rid of it. But, of course, that did not work because just by hoeing it, you just spread it even more.
And you're thinking,
why am I doing this?
Next spring I'm going to have double the work.
And actually, the onion weed is quite beneficial for the roses because the smell of the onions keeps away the bugs.
Oh,
so
that's a good companion.
If you plant garlic or onions near your roses, it helps them develop immunity. And they were the healthiest looking roses there. They were standard roses.
Yeah.
And I just could not see the purpose of hoeing away these
And did you, just out of interest, explain that to your boss?
Of course.
Oh, good girl.
He didn't listen though.
And I'm sure it went down like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. Their loss. They'll have to find someone else to, some other monkey to... Maybe with big muscles and a small brain.
Yeah.
All right. So, So anything else you wanted to say about allium crew?
They are very good flowers and edible.
Yeah. All right. So let's get on to planting.
Yes.
All right. So bulbs do best in well-drained soils. Most bulbs... don't like damp soils. Otherwise, they tend to rot.
Mm.
Okay? So how many times? I feel like a stuck record. Well-drained soils. Oh, I feel like I say that all the time. But not all. Some plants are quite happy in mud.
Yeah.
So, but not, most aren't.
Not bulbs.
General rule of thumb. Although when you think about the Waitakere Ranges, which is our local range, most of that's clay, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing is they're on a slope, so the water would drain down.
Yeah.
So if you're in a swamp type situation, that's not so good. But if you happen to be on a slope or a hillside, then
it works better.
It works better. Mm. You can mound up and yeah.
Yeah. So they like plenty of sunshine, although the crocus species and bulbs such as the lily of the valley and bluebells will happily flower in shady locations. And I wonder if that onion what's that one you were saying? What's its official name?
Allium.
The onion flower one, the one that you
allium.
See under... Oh.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's just called allium.
Yeah.
Even though that's the broad...
It's a broad
name.
Yeah.
I just call it the onion flower because it's the prettiest onion flower, I think. And it's prolific. But that seems to do all right in the shade too.
Yes, that's fine.
Most bulbs like lots of sun. Anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, the ones that do well in the shady, well, they will tend to flower just before the spring leaves come out. So you have your deciduous trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so the flowers will flower when the leaves are just starting to bud. And then it will cover and be shady. So
that's
kind of the reason why they like to be under the trees.
Yeah. Are you talking about the ones that prefer shade? Or most, do you think shade or sun?
So bulbs like daffodils, bluebells, those types of bulbs. They will flower under the deciduous trees when the leaves have fallen away, and then when spring comes they'll start to grow the new leaves, right? So they get more sun in that period.
The beginning.
Yeah.
And then, which is kind of cool because then they're not going to fry too much.
Yeah.
Okay. But, don't go planting them in a super shady spot, though.
Mm. No.
Like, they're not, it's not going to work.
So not under an evergreen tree, maybe.
Mm.
Yep.
And when you go to plant, make sure you put plenty of organic matter into the soil.
Yep. Goes for most plants,
I mean, general rule of thumb there.
Yep.
Another general guideline for planting is the bulb depth. I found on the Palmer's website the depth that you put your bulb down should be twice the bulb diameter. That was there. I've never heard of this.
General rule of thumb.
If you have like a 5-centimetre bulb, you plant it 10 centimetres down.
Yeah, roughly.
So that was kind of interesting. I usually just look on the packet.
Yeah.
if I've been given them, I might Google it and say, that's always a good, because all flowers are different and you can find some useful hints from on the backs of the packet there. Like, for example, do you know about anemones? Am I saying that right?
I call them anemones. But I'm never sure if I say it correctly. Anemone.
Oh, I think I've got the N in there. Anyway, N and the M are in the wrong place. But some people say they need to be soaked overnight before planting. So,
I've heard of that one too.
Mm. Some people say in warmer areas, this will probably be on the back of the pack, it is advised to chill your bulbs for a bit to help them bring on the blooms in spring.
Yeah, so bulbs like tulips that need a bit of cold period because Auckland is a bit too warm for them.
Mm.
Just pop them in your fridge for a couple of weeks before planting them.
Yeah, it triggers something deep inside that bulb. Yeah. I don't know the science behind it. It's intriguing how they know.
Yeah.
And then what happens come springtime when the temperature reaches 5 degrees, then they go, oh!
Yes.
And they start sprouting and coming up through the soil.
Yeah.
They're so clever.
Karen, did you find out a thing called forcing bulbs?
I was thinking maybe that was the fridge or the chilling thing.
Yeah,
I know they do that a lot, like in warmer states around the world.
Yeah.
It's a massive business where they've just got chillers full of...
Yes.
Yeah. Full of bulbs and then they'll sell them in flower stores or whatever, freshly... Beautiful.
It is a huge industry. Remember we did the history the other...
Yeah,
last week.
Yeah.
The history of bulbs is very interesting because in Amsterdam, where they grow a lot of bulbs, especially tulips, they had a whole period where there was tulip fever and everyone, it was a fashion to... grow lots and lots of tulips. It was the brand new kind of plant.
The fad.
Fad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Holland is renowned. I mean, they have a lot of industry there
where they
create hybrids over there. They're renowned for it, the Dutch.
They had fields and fields and farms full of tulips, rows and rows and rows, all different colours of the rainbow.
Yeah.
It was amazing. If you ever go there, you should check it out.
Yeah, I've actually, the screenshot on my homepage on my phone is actually a picture of fields of tulips, pink ones. It's a real picture, doesn't it? You wouldn't even think it's real. It's so beautiful. And then, of course, in the centre is like a windmill.
The windmill.
It's like, wow.
Your eyes will just water.
Yeah. It's like, I want to go there.
So with tulips, because they're so prized, they bred all these different colours and for the fashion conscious amongst us gardeners. You want them all colour coordinated. Yeah. So you don't want to mix them up.
It's big business. I mean, yeah, like, oh, I've got the greatest hybrid, you know.
Yeah.
They're experts.
So, for those who want fashionable gardens, you've got pick the right colours and make sure you coordinate them and have big blocks of solid colour.
Yeah.
So you want hundreds and hundreds of bulbs in one, and you can make patterns and all this.
Oh, it's cool,
so
yeah.
If you have lots of money.
Yeah,
yeah,
go for it. Why not? And that sort of brings me on to the stagger planting of bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your different kinds of bulbs will come out at different times. So you'll have your early spring, mid-spring, late spring.
Yep.
That will go into summer. So it's recommended to plant a variety of bulbs if you've got the money and time,
yeah, of course,
and inclination. Do it that way so that you can have a longer, sort of prolonged flowering period.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, and then also, so you plant a variety and then you stagger plant, so every couple of weeks, just keep adding to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that is. I've got some suggestions actually here about what are some of the early ones you should come up early spring. They say single early tulips, double early tulips, the earlier bloomers. Then mid spring, you've got your freesias, daffodils. I'm not going to say them all. I just picked out my favourites and the ones that I can actually read. And then late spring, your bluebells, woodland anemones. That was
anemones.
Anemones. Your Dutch iris and fringe tulips. They come later on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you just stagger plant those
over
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I noticed the earliest ones that I notice popping up in my garden are the early chair jonquils. They're not quite daffodils, but related to the daffodil family.
Okay. Are they the smaller?
Yeah, they're the small little jonquils. They're little creamy coloured flowers that look like little stars.
They've been coming up. I've noticed them coming up really early.
Yeah.
Like it's like
winter.
August.
Yeah.
And
they are called early chair for a reason.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking, oh, my goodness, climate change.
No.
Well, I mean, I still do.
Yeah. Don't worry about those ones. They're
meant
to come up
normal.
Early.
Yeah.
So, there's so many different varieties.
I know.
If you look in the catalogues or you look at your stand.
What's that catalogue there?
All got colours. And this one I have in front of me is New Zealand Bulbs. It's a mail order catalogue.
Oh, yeah.
And it tells us that you have to order them before the deadline of 30th of April.
All right.
To get them, because they need to,
get
them in. So it's best to get your bulbs in early.
Yeah.
To buy them early, because later on in the season they're not so good or they get sold out or, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are a lot of keen gardeners out there will already have their
orders
all complete. Have you got yours complete?
Well, I've got my circle over what ones I think I want to look for. So I've got freesia mixture, Dutch iris.
What's the one on the front cover there?
This is grape muscari.
That's nice.
Or grape hyacinth.
A nice blue.
They've got little, they look like little grape bunches.
Yeah.
And they're just tiny little bulbs.
Oh, right. I've heard of them.
Very easy to grow.
Grape hyacinth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they come in like purpley colours.
Those look nice. Get some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time bulb season comes around, I think, gosh, I got to get some because spring is just around the corner. And if I don't have those in at the right time, I'm not going to have that beautiful spring
display.
It's
just a fun thing to do because then all of a sudden they come up and it's like, ooh.
And they're such jewels of flowers. I mean, all their growing goes into making this beautiful, really bright,
stunning,
beautiful, often scented flower that you just won't get with any other kind of plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. The bulb contains all the nutrients it needs for growth and flowering. It's like it was meant for that flower, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
That, they, yeah, because they don't seem to have a huge amount of leaves on them. I've noticed. I stalk.
It all goes into the flower.
Yeah.
And the thing with the bulbs is they're like the jewels of the garden. So you get the amazing colours. It all goes in towards that, making it a lovely display. And especially after a winter where, things are a bit bare.
Yeah.
You want to see
a bit dull,
colour
a bit muddy.
Come.
And then all of a sudden, they come up. So once the bulbs are in flower, although the bulbs do continue to grow and they're still using that stored food, you still need to, when they push through the soil surface, I've been told, I never know whether these plant garden centres are just saying, use this product, fill it, but I think I would probably do this just to get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the roots by this stage have come out of that bulb and are established in the soil. So they'll be, looking around for nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So as they push through the soil surface, they say it's a good time to apply fertiliser. And they also say, surprise, surprise, once again after flowering is finished, because I'm not quite sure why they would recommend once flowering is finished, but I think it's to do with allowing plenty of flowers you're thinking of the season ahead.
Yeah.
I generally fertilise, you know how people say, oh, you have to, there are certain times when your plants are hungrier, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think if you've got fertiliser available to you, say, for example, at our community garden,
yes.
I've just organised a truckload of seaweed.
Yes.
It has been delivered. Hooray. Success. So we've got this huge mound, and I'm just encouraging the gardeners just to take buckets home. If it's available, use it.
Yep.
Chuck it on your garden. Yep. You know, it's not going to complain, even if it doesn't use it right then and there. It will use it at some point.
Yeah. The beauty with something like seaweed is the plants will just absorb as much as they can. It's not like you're giving them steroids or anything.
I think if you're thinking of your next season's bulbs and you're thinking, oh, I'll just leave them, in the ground and seem to do well year after year, I would probably not advise using a strong liquid fertiliser when they're sort of dormant or dying or
a natural
finished.
One.
Just go for something like a slow release, like say that seaweed that will just gradually, absorb into the ground. And so we're on to flowering, and then of course just put a bit of mulch on to keep that soil nice and moist.
Nice.
You won't need to do much watering because the spring rain will take care of that.
Yeah.
But for your summer flowering varieties, you may need to water it occasionally.
Okay. I've kind of not bothered with the watering for mine, but I just think they just get what they can from the rain, and they're adapted to do that. So,
and it depends if you've got them in containers as well, containers
dry
are
a bit more.
Yeah. And good news is, if you're going to give it a go, guys, they're relatively pest and disease-free, from what I'm told. I've never had – it's normally for me an issue of not enough – I've put them in silly places where they could get a bit root-bound or there's too much shade.
Or if you're just planting so many of just one variety, like a monoculture, then maybe that's not so good.
And also I've often left it too late.
Oh goodness,
you don't get as good.
Slugs
and snails can be a problem, however, when the first shoots emerge, so just be aware of that. They do like their fresh shoots.
Would you plant your bulbs at a certain time according to the moon, Karen?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So check your calendars for the right times.
Now I've got to remember when.
For rooting. Rooting crops would apply for bulbs.
I think that's when the full moon's just finished. No, when the moon's
waning.
Waning.
Yeah.
And you want to encourage growth
of the roots.
Into the downward.
Downwards,
yeah.
Yeah. So I've got here coming up in March 20, and the 21st are good days for planting bulbs or root crops.
Okay.
So just make a mark in your diary. You've got to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So, I do need to get some bulbs.
It's got me going, I have to go to the
garden center. I know. My mum usually gives me bulbs. I need to talk to her. Right.
Is there going to be another
mental note
for competition?
Well, that's the thing because, yeah, I don't know. She might. I'm not sure she's doing another competition. She's been laying low at the moment. I haven't heard much from her. This usually happens when she gets a new boyfriend.
Okay.
I don't hear from her. So, yeah, but I'll keep you posted, okay? And I'll keep the listeners posted on that because they might want to be involved too and send in their photos.
Yep.
Yeah. So what to do after flowering?
Oh, that's a bit ahead. I'm just enjoying the flowers. You just cut them and use them if you want
Nothing. You don't have to do anything. Just let them die down completely.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd cut the flowers though.
If you want to give them away or whatever. I usually just leave mine.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of them. Yeah. Because... Unless I've got heaps,
which
is not normally the case.
You got to have more to give away. So you let them die down, the leaves, and then what I do with mine is when they're all dried out and just fallen over, they make good mulch, those leaves, if you just let them die down and cover the ground. So,
don't cut off the straggly foliage, as these leaves provide the bulb's food supply for the following season. Like you were saying, they break down and... you can tie the foliage in a knot and leave it.
I've seen that. It looks kind of strange. But for people who are quite obsessively tidy...
Yeah, that would be the thing to do.
That's what they like to do.
Most I would do is sort of just brush them to the side so they're not on the path.
I would just sort of fold them over. Yeah. They can be sort of squashed down a bit so they don't look like they're a big tangle. And also people say to grow... sort of perennial plants around them so they can cover when they're dying down so that then the other flowers will come up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of like, I don't know, they call it succession.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing a whole bed of dead
leaves. Good idea. Yeah. And lifting the bulbs, when is a good time to do that, if you do it?
Would that be summer?
Well, this is an order of priority, okay? You can lift this. Lifting the bulbs means it's a fancy gardener's term for taking them out of the soil. one, okay, if the soil gets too hot during the summer, this can roast them. So if you want to keep them, you lift them.
Okay.
If they become overcrowded and you need to thin them out, and if you want to just decide, no, I want to move these bulbs and plant them somewhere else, there's like reasons why you do it.
Oh, okay.
Easy peasy. And then you store them in a net bag and keep them in a cool and ventilated place or a seed tray. Done.
Wow. I've got to get to
the
garden centre and get me some bulbs.
So what's happening, Selena?
Oh, what's happening is the following week, 28th, I think it is, we are having a garden ramble at Massey in our community garden, along with two other Massey gardens, one in Triangle and one in Jadewin. This is part of Eco West Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So come along to that. You can, we'll give you a tour and you can just ramble in our garden.
Yep. Come and check it out.
Yeah, come and check it out. This is for Neighbours Day, so we're going to...
Yeah, you'll get a free drink.
Yeah, we're going to leave you with some neighbourly vibes.
Cool. See ya.
All right. Bye, everyone.
You can find the perfect place. Neighbours should be there for one another. That's when good neighbors become friends.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.